All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you to dig deeper into Deuteronomy chapter 3, as this week we look at the first 22 verses, and we especially focus on King Og of Bashan. So let's look into our text this morning. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og the king of Bashan came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. But the Lord said to me, "Do not fear him, for I have given him and all his people and his land into your hand. And you shall do to him as you did to Sihon the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon." So the Lord our God gave into our hand Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people. And we struck him down until he left no survivor. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city that we did not take from them. 60 cities, the whole region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. All these were cities fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, besides many unwalled villages. And we devoted them to destruction, as we did to Sihon the king of Heshbon, devoting to destruction every city, men, women, and children. But all the livestock and the spoil of the cities we took as plunder. So we took the land at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, from the valley of the Arnon to Mount Hermon. The Sidons call Hermon Sirion, while the Amorites call it Seir. All the cities of the tableland and all Gilead and all Bashan, as far as Salaka and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. For only Og, the king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. Behold, his bed was made of iron. Is it not in Rabbah of the Ammonites? 9 cubits was its length and 4 cubits its breadth, according to the common cubit. When we took possession of this land at that time, I gave to the Reubenites and the Gadites the territory beginning at Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and half the hill country of Gilead with its cities. The rest of Gilead and all Bashan, the kingdom of Og, that is, all the region of the Argob, I gave to the half-tribe of Manasseh. All that portion of Bashan is called the land of Rephaim. Jair the Manassite took all the region of the Argob, that is, Bashan, as far as the border of the Geshurites and all the Maachathites, and called the villages after his own name, Havoth-Jair, as it is to this day. To Machir I gave Gilead, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave the territory from Gilead as far as the valley of the Arnon, with the middle of the valley as a border, as far as the river Jabbok, the border of the Ammonites. The Arabah also, with the Jordan as the border, from Kinnereth as far as the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, under the slopes of Pisgah on the east. And I commanded you at that time, saying, "The Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All your men of valor shall cross over armed before your brothers, the people of Israel. Only your wives, your little ones, and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall remain in the cities that I have given you, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as to you, and they also occupy the land that the Lord your God gives them beyond the Jordan. Then each of you may return to his possession, which I have given you." And I commanded Joshua at that time, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms to which you were crossing. You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you." All right, there is our text for this week. Quite a bit of text to go through, but again, it is very simple once we get into just the story of it. So we get into Bashan. Bashan is a fertile plateau south of Mount Hermon, east of the Sea of Galilee, and mainly north of the Yarmuk River. The name may also mean smooth, flat, or fertile. The area is known for agriculture and cattle, as Psalm 22:12 talks about the bulls of Bashan. Joshua speaks about it in chapter 20 and 21 of the town of Golan in Bashan. Today, Golan generally refers to the same region as Bashan, and has been retained in the term the Golan Heights. So this is where we're talking about. That area in the Middle East that we call the Golan Heights, this is where Og had his kingdom. And again, this is not even a, "We'll send peaceful words, we're just going." Because God said, "Do not fear him, for I have given him and all his people and his land into your hand. And you shall do to him the same as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites." So God gave the Israelites, Og, into their hands, all of his people, all of his land, 60 cities in all. You know, cities fortified with high walls, gates, and bars. And then there were many unwalled villages as well, devoting them all to destruction, just like they had done to Sihon. So also every city, man, woman, and child was destroyed. But the livestock and the spoil of the cities were taken as plunder. So now you have this large swath of land, which is roughly, according to most maps of the Bible, the same amount of area on the east side of the Jordan as you have on the west, which has always boggled me that on the east side, you get 2.5 tribes dividing up this territory. You get roughly the same amount of territory divided up by 9.5 tribes. It doesn't quite make sense to me, but this is the way God has parceled it out. So now we have also the other names for Hermon between the Sidonians and the Amorites, but this is all that land that God has given them. And then we get to verse 11. This is one of those great parenthetical statements. For only Og, the king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. This is the peoples who also include the Nephilim and all of those giants. No. Behold, his bed was made of iron. Is it not in Rabbah of the Ammonites? 9 cubits was its length, and 4 cubits its breadth, according to the common cubit. So what does all this mean? Well, a cubit being roughly 18 inches, this means this bed is 13.5 feet long. It is 6 feet wide to fit him in it. So this is why God starts out with, do not fear him. Because yes, he has a 13.5 foot long bed, which is in Rabbah of the Ammonites, which is not uncommon. Because where else do we go in all the world and see all kinds of artifacts from bygone days? Museums and all of this. So also ancient Rabbah, which is in the within the city limits of Amman, Jordan. We're talking about, this is where the bed of Og is. And by ancient standards, this was extravagant, but ultimately it was the luxury of it is what drew people to it. Now, this bed, there is some idea behind this that it might not actually be a bed to relax and sleep. I mean, we kind of have the same thing going on in Amos 6 as the decadent people of Zion and Samaria luxuriate on this kind of bed or couch and dine on choice lamb and fattened calf while drinking wine by the bowlful. But it may also be a reference to a sarcophagus, the final resting place. So, as in Amos, you have no real rest or security in this huge bed. Neither does a huge sarcophagus, a finely made sarcophagus, offer eternal rest. So we have this idea here as to, we have this great giant of a man, and he also gets defeated because it is the Lord fighting for them. So then we have, starting in verse 12, the agreement that Moses makes with the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh, that they will not only have this territory, but they will lead their brothers into battle. As we talk about the area that they got and the divisions of that, he says in verse 18, "The Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All your men of valor shall cross over armed before your brothers, the people of Israel." And that's exactly what happens in Joshua chapter 1. We pick up in verse 12 of Joshua 1. "And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise." And they answered Joshua, "All that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Well, that's a nice way to go. We're going to be just as faithful to you as we were to Moses. Which, okay, A lot of times, yes, that's a great thing, but you also have all the times of grumbling where they're like, no, I don't want to deal with you anymore. So Joshua chapter 1, they make this agreement. They go over, they are leading the battles for the conquest of the promised land. Then we get to Joshua chapter 22. At that time, Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, "You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have obeyed my voice in all that I have commanded you. You have not forsaken your brothers these many days down to this day, but have been careful to keep the charge of the Lord your God. Now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he promised them. Therefore turn and go to your tents in the land where your possession lies, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Only be careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cling to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given the possession of Bashan, and to the other half, Joshua had given a possession beside their brothers in the land west of the Jordan. So you have the two halves of the tribe of Manasseh basically being divided by the Jordan River in between them. So we have this blessing again on the people having fulfilled what they had been commanded to do in bringing the possession of the promised land to their brothers. Now they get to return. So we see that the beginning of Joshua, at the end of Joshua, we're all good. So then as we get to this rest that Moses promises them in Deuteronomy 3, the rest that Joshua promises them in chapter 1 and chapter 22, this is the rest that Yahweh gives that involves a communal life of peace centered around his indwelling presence in the sanctuary, as we'll see in chapter 12. Hebrews 4 reminds us that this temporal rest in the earthly land can be considered a type of the far greater bodily, spiritual, and eternal rest earned for sinners by Jesus Christ. Now, remember, this is Yahweh that gives this rest. The armed army of Israel is not giving this rest to the people. The armed men of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh are not giving this rest. God is giving this rest because he is the one who is ultimately giving us our eternal rest in Christ. So now as we go through the last couple of verses here, we have Joshua reminding the people, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms into which you are crossing." So as I said earlier, Og and Sion are battles to show the Israelites that God is with them, that God is favoring them, that God is leading them into victory to proclaim and to claim their promised land, their inheritance, so they can not worry about, okay, what if we cross over and there's something else? No, we've defeated big bad guys here. Now we're going to go over and do the same thing there. And so that is the promise that we have. We have that whole thing, that everything that happens to us, yes, happens for a reason. No, we probably will never know that reason, but ultimately it is to help us grow in our faith that God is taking care of us, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The same Jesus that led the Israelites out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, through all the wanderings and into the promised land, is the same Jesus that is here with us today, is the same Jesus that will come back to bring us into his eternal rest. And that is what we strive for, that rest in him. All right, that's where we're going to stop this week. We're going to finish up chapter 3 and move into chapter 4 next week as we get into Moses taking up his chance to, well, maybe God, you could reconsider my banishment. But that is next week. Until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, for digging deeper with me. And I pray that this has helped you to be equipped to wrestle with the theologies around you, regardless of how big and bad they seem, to know that God is here with you. Amen.